Let's read together Acts chapter 12. In this chapter, we have three significant events in the life of the early church: the martyrdom of James the Apostle, the miraculous deliverance of Peter from prison, and the sudden death of Herod Agrippa I. Acts chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 12 with some background notes. The Herod mentioned in verse 1 is Herod Agrippa I. He was a grandson of Herod the Great. Now, there are a number of Herods in the New Testament, and it's easy to get confused. So here is a brief summary. First of all, there was Herod the Great at the time of Christ's birth. Not called Herod the Great in the Bible, by the way. He was not great in God's eyes. He's the one who killed the male babies in Bethlehem. Then there was Herod Antipas, a son of Herod the Great and ruler of Galilee during our Lord's public ministry. He and Pilate, remember, were made friends during the Lord's trial. Here in Acts chapter 12, we have Herod Agrippa I, a grandson of Herod the Great. We see that he is willing to do anything in order to maintain favor with the religious Jews, including murder. We see at the end of the chapter that God struck down this proud, heartless ruler. Herod was addressing the people of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to Caesarea with a grievance concerning their supply of grain. Verse 22. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." This was obviously for political reasons. Verse 23. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck Herod because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. God has ways of dealing with people who don't give glory to God. In Acts chapter 26, we will meet another Herod Agrippa who listened to Paul's defense at Caesarea. This was Herod Agrippa II, the son of Herod Agrippa I. The James who was martyred here in Acts chapter 12 was James the Apostle, the brother of John. This is not the James that wrote the book of James in the New Testament. That James was the half-brother of our Lord. This James, here in Acts chapter 12, is James the Apostle, and he becomes the first apostle that was martyred. All the rest of the apostles were eventually martyred, with the exception of the Apostle John. We see in verse 12 that the early Christians were meeting in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Traditionally, this was the upper room where the Last Supper was held. John Mark, Mary's son, joined Paul and Barnabas in their return to Antioch, verse 25, and we'll see in Acts chapter 13 that he joined Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. John Mark, by the way, is the Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Acts chapter 12. So doctrinal point number one, believers are not always delivered from physical danger. Believers are not always delivered from physical danger. God allowed James to be martyred, but he delivered Peter from the same fate. How come? Didn't James have enough faith? Were more people praying for Peter than for James? No, these are not the answers here. The bottom line answer here is that the Bible teaches that believers are not always delivered from physical danger. God can deliver a believer from any situation involving physical danger, but he may purposely choose not to do so for any number of reasons. We often hear the expression, "The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church," and indeed it is. We saw this with respect to the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and we see it here with the martyrdom of James, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And there are other reasons why God may choose not to always deliver every believer from all situations of physical danger. But what about God's promises of protection, such as in Psalm 91? I'm reading Psalm 91, verses 5 through 7. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Psalm 91, verses 5 through 7. Can we claim these promises? Yes, these are general promises of God's care and protection for his people, which we can claim. But God may call a believer to some special situation involving physical danger, such as martyrdom, or special suffering for the glory of God. But God will give us the grace to handle these situations. The Lord Jesus, as the perfect man, prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The cup of suffering was not removed. The Lord was not delivered from physical danger because a higher plan and purpose for the glory of God was being carried out. Believers are not always delivered from physical danger. Doctrinal point number two, believers are sometimes dramatically delivered from physical danger. Believers are sometimes dramatically delivered from physical danger. We see this in the case of Peter here. Herod intended to kill Peter as he killed James, but God sent an angel to miraculously and dramatically deliver Peter out of prison. This is not the first time that Peter was delivered from physical danger. We saw Peter and the other apostles delivered from prison back in Acts chapter 5. You know, I love the way the angel here directs Peter step by step while Peter is still in a daze. Come on, Peter, get up, get dressed, put on your shoes, put your coat on, and follow me, verses 7 and 8. And I love the automatic gate opener in verse 10. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. This was the original automatic garage opener. Peter went and knocked on the gate of the house of Mary, where the Christians were praying for his release. A girl named Rhoda answered the door, but she kept Peter standing there because of her joy of surprise. How do you think Peter felt at this point? Peter kept knocking. The Christians inside who were praying for Peter's release didn't believe that God had answered their prayers. Do we ever pray like this? Aren't you glad that God answers our prayers in spite of our lack of faith? They told Rhoda that she was out of her mind. They said that she was seeing his angel, meaning his guardian angel. By the way, be careful about using verse 15 as a proof text for guardian angels. This is the inspired record of what these early Jewish Christians said to Rhoda, and it seems to indicate that they believed in guardian angels. But this is not the same as the Bible teaching the doctrine of guardian angels. You see that? Now, I believe that the Bible does teach the doctrine of guardian angels, but I would not use Acts 12:15 as a proof text. So Peter was dramatically delivered from prison, and God has the power to do this in any situation involving physical danger, if he chooses to do so. Think of Daniel, protected in the lion's den. Think of the three believers delivered from the fiery furnace. Believers are sometimes dramatically delivered from physical danger. Illustration. You know, I know a Korean Christian man who escaped from North Korea. He told me that he had to walk through an extensive minefield. He said that a man that he didn't know showed up and guided him and then disappeared. He believes that it was an angel from the Lord. Believers are sometimes dramatically delivered from physical danger. Practical application. Leave sad fallout for doing what's right in the hands of God. Leave sad fallout for doing what's right in the hands of God. Verse 19. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. As many as 16 Roman guards may have been executed, four shifts of four guards each. Now, how do you think Peter felt when he heard about this? Maybe Peter had witnessed to these men. They were just doing their job. Maybe some of them had told Peter about their upbringing and about their families. This was sad fallout to Peter's imprisonment. Peter didn't execute these men, but they were executed because of Peter's escape. You know, these unpleasant things happen, then and today. What should you do? What can you do? You leave it in the hands of God. Leave sad fallout for doing what's right in the hands of God.